such a special time to be studying the spiritual clothing, the spiritual protection that God has provided for Christians. I couldn't help but note in glancing at your little insert in the bulletin today concerning the church around the world, right in the middle, at the bottom of the front page, speaks about satanic activity on the increase. Experts are warning that satanic activities and crimes related to Satanism are on the increase, particularly in Latin America, Europe, the United States, and Canada. Police with greater frequency are finding crimes connected to Satan worship as they learn to recognize signs and symbols at the scenes. What a day we live in. The battle is heating up. We seem to be moving toward a climactic encounter between light and darkness. And those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ are part of that battle. And it's very important for us to understand our protection. We've talked about it, our union with Christ in all of His person and His work, the person and power and ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and the whole armor of God. The loin girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of peace, the shield of faith. And today we come to the helmet of salvation. Verse 16 makes it very prominent and strong. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Cover your minds with your helmet. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 states, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." Our thoughts are a very important part to our whole person and being. And Satan wants to control your mind. He wants to put thoughts into your mind that are his thoughts. He engages in mind control. And then once he is successful at doing that, he wants to torment you with those thoughts. I think if I've learned one thing in a ministry of spiritual warfare and seeking to help others, it's how this part of our person and being comes under very severe attack. Satan wants to control our minds. He wants to put his thoughts within them. I've been amazed at how people have shared with me some of the ways in which that happens. And many times they're hideous thoughts. Thoughts that are totally foreign and alien to what we really want to think. Thoughts about murder, killing, even thoughts of killing your own family, your loved ones. Amazing how many times the murderer puts thoughts like that in people's minds. One man shared with me how that he suddenly found thoughts crowding into his mind that he was going to molest some little child. Thoughts that were totally foreign to him. Thoughts that he thought at first might indicate that he was losing his mind until he understood that Satan doesn't have much problem putting his thoughts in your mind. thoughts to curse God, thoughts to tear up the Bible, thoughts that are just full of wickedness. Now, what do you do with thoughts like that? I hope that you understand where they come from, and that you're ready to use your helmet to protect yourself and to resist them steadfast in the faith. All of us need a little resistance prayer that you've kind of memorized to handle satanic intruded thoughts. A little resistance prayer like this: in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of His blood, I come against the power of darkness that just put that wicked thought in my mind. And I command you to leave me and go where the Lord Jesus Christ sends you. Don't accept thoughts like those as being your own that we've mentioned, and maybe some that are unique and peculiar to you, that some power of darkness is tormenting you with them, trying to tell you what a terrible person you must be to have wicked, evil thoughts like that. And if you're a child of God, you're not in any sense a terrible person. You're a saint of God. Those thoughts don't belong to you. And you are privileged to wear your helmet, to resist them, to command the enemy behind them to cease his wicked work and to leave your presence. And let me just say how important it is to be tenacious at it. Don't give up with one resistance. Keep at it. Every time the thought comes, resist it. Satan's first strategy of attack was to attack Eve's mind, put thoughts in her mind that were contrary to her thoughts and contrary to God's thoughts, and suddenly begin to try to make his thoughts Eve's thoughts. And he hasn't changed that strategy. Paul warns Christians about that in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. Let me read that verse to you. Paul says, "But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Just as he did it to Eve, your minds are the target of Satan. He wants to corrupt them and destroy them and defile them. Now, the helmet of salvation is designed by God to protect your mind, and we need to wear it. So I'd like to just share some thoughts as we prepare our hearts to come to communion. First of all, its location of protection is important. You see, a helmet is for the head. You put helmets on your head. You wear them to protect your brain and your head physically, because injury to your head is deadly. Now, the world recognizes that. In most places where there could be any danger to your head, you're forced to wear a protective helmet. I remember so graphically when I was doing my work on my Doctor of Ministry degree. Anita was working in order to help us make it through that time as I took a sabbatical time. And one of her jobs she had was one of these secretarial pool jobs. She was to go to a new position on a high security area. And she dressed up that day. I can remember it so well. It was her first day, and she wanted to look nice. And she had on her high heels and one of her most special dresses. And she just looked beautiful. And I took her to the place of work. And we discovered it was such a security area that they had the gate closed, and I couldn't go even to where her office was. She had to walk about a block in order to get there, and she stepped through the gate, and the first thing the guard insisted that she put on was one of those hard hat helmets. And she put it on, and it practically covered not just her head, but her whole face as well. And I'll never forget, she almost broke me up totally in laughter when, in her fine dress and high heels, as she started to walk toward her office, she turned and waved at me. And the look on her face, I'll never forget it. Thank the Lord that sometimes in situations we can see the sense of humor in it. But it illustrates how the world wants to protect our brains. And in my judgment, people who don't wear helmets when they ride motorcycles are very, very risk-centered people who are toying with tragedy. Because nearly all of those accidents when people die, it's because their head has been injured. Now, all of that to remind us of how important the helmet of salvation is. You just can't survive without it as a Christian. Satan will get at your mind, and he'll want to destroy it and rule it. Now let me just quickly share with you some ways in which he attempts to rule our minds. First of all, through what James calls double-mindedness. Double-mindedness. It's such an interesting statement that the double-minded man or person is unstable in all of his ways. Now, Satan does his best to make you, as a Christian, kind of a spiritual schizophrenic with two minds. With your mind, you want to love and serve the Lord. But with your mind, many times you want to toy with some of the things that are not of God. And James warns that's a deadly business. A divided mind is a very serious emotional thing, but it's even more deadly spiritually. And we need to be praying like the psalmist did. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Now, what was David praying about? In Psalm 86:11. He wanted the Lord to bring a unity, a wholeness, a single-mindedness, a single-heartedness to his mind. So in his thought processes, the Lord was the center of everything in his life. The second thing that he wants to do is to make you carnal-minded. Through carnal-mindedness, he tries to rule over you. Now, the carnal mind, we learn in Romans 8, 6, and 7, is a mind that actually is the enemy of God. It's the kind of mind the non-believer has. It's the kind of mind that's described in Galatians chapter 5. It is a mind that's full of adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, quarreling, sedition, drunkenness, carnal-mindedness, fleshly-mindedness, minding the things that come out of the old nature and the fleshliness of man. Oh, how Satan likes to get you going in that area and begin to rule you. It isn't long until the fleshly mind many times becomes a demonically dictated thought process. carnal mindedness. Spiritual mindedness is what the Lord desires of us. Our mind is centered upon the Lord. And then there's a third one. Through God as our enemy thoughts. Satan loves to put thoughts in your mind. God's your enemy. God's not playing fair with you. He could make it different, but he's not. And you should get angry at him. When you have thoughts like that, you know where they're coming from? You see, God can't be anything but good and righteous and holy and kind and loving. Regardless of what your experience seems to say, God is who he is because God can't be anything but who he is. It's all wrapped up in his very attributes of love and holiness and justice and goodness. But Satan comes along when something doesn't seem to be going your way, the way you want it to go, and he tries to rule your mind with wicked thoughts about God being your enemy and make you angry at God. He also tries to rule you through deceived, lying thoughts. Remember the case of Ananias and Sapphira? The warning is, in that case, Satan filled Ananias' heart and Sapphira's heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. And whenever you're tempted to lie, you can know that Satan's very close in that. He's behind it. Jesus said he's a liar and the author of it. And the final one, through fearful thoughts. We're reminded that he prowls around like a roaring lion. Now, what's the purpose of the lion's roar? Usually it's to put fear upon that which he wants to take captive. And the devil just loves to rule you through fear. When violent fear begins to rumble through your being, you can almost mark it up immediately that Satan's behind it. And right at the moment you feel that panic and fear is the moment to use your helmet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of his blood I command the wicked power of fear to leave my presence and go where the Lord Jesus Christ sends you. God gives you courage, not fear. The helmet enables our thoughts to be our own and to be those of Christ. Thoughts that are projected into your mind by the enemy need to be recognized quickly and decisively. And please understand that. You don't have to accept those thoughts as your own. Satan finds it very easy to try to put thoughts in your mind. Remember one man calling me, terribly troubled. Every time he started to pray, thoughts would come in his mind. Pray to Satan, pray to Satan, pray to Satan. And he was just tormented by that. He was sure that there must be something very much wrong with his mind to have thoughts like that. But when he began to recognize that where they were coming from and resisted them, he was totally set free from that. Helmet your head with salvation. The second thought I would share with you about it is that its person of protection is important. Now, think of the helmet. It's called the helmet of salvation. Now, what is salvation? Salvation is a person. Salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been memorizing Psalm 27. And the very first opening part of it says, "The Lord, Jehovah, is my light and my salvation." And if you were to read that in the Hebrew, you would see that it says this, Jehovah is my light and my Yeshua. Yeshua is the Old Testament word for salvation. Jesus, the Lord, Jehovah, is my Jesus. You see, salvation is a person. That's why when Simeon held the baby Jesus in his hands, he prayed to God, now I can depart in peace because these eyes have seen my salvation. Christ is your salvation. He's a person. And when you cover your mind with the helmet, you need to realize you're asking the Lord Jesus to cover your mind, to protect your mind from the intruded thoughts of Satan, and also to fill your mind with his thoughts. That's what it means to wear your helmet. Its message of protection is important. It's salvation. Now that word has three different applications. First of all, it has an external application. Salvation means that somebody comes and rescues you, who's outside of you, who's greater than you. And I could give you illustrations from life, times in my own life when somebody has saved me literally from death by being there to pull me out of a drowning experience, and another time from an accident experience. It's wonderful to know that salvation has an external application, but it also has an internal application. You see, salvation is that which works inside of you. That's why the scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And the salvation doesn't just come to rescue you as your Lord might step into the battle and rescue you, but your salvation works inside of you to put the mind of Christ within you. And that's why it's so important to memorize Scripture. And we'll talk more about that when we talk about the sword of the Spirit next week. But it has great application also to salvation, because to think like God is to put the Word of God within your mind and fill it with the mind of Christ. And then it has an eternal application. The saving power is always there that saves you. I must hurry on just to say a word about its method of protection being important. Now, I like the expression as it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verses 8 and 9, where we read, but since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. The hope of salvation as a helmet. Now that's one of the major methods that you're protected by the helmet of salvation. It's by that hope that's always there. The hope that belongs to you. The hope that the mind of Christ can really control your mind. The hope that one day all of those projected thoughts from darkness that try to crowd into your mind will be forever put away. You'll have the mind of Christ forever when you get your glorified body. And so it's important to understand that part of the helmet's protection and method of protection is that hope that keeps rising within your heart because of the salvation God has provided. And then just a word, its maintenance of protection is important. And that has to do with usage. We're warned in Hebrews chapter 2 not to neglect salvation. Let me just read that to you. It's in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? Now that's addressed to Christians. He's not talking about ignoring salvation in the sense that you would not receive it. He's talking about usage. Have you ever realized where you would be if you didn't use your salvation? To protect your mind, we need to use it and resist the enemy by using it daily to protect us. Precious Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to have a helmet to wear in this great battle that the enemy keeps pressing against believers. We're glad that you don't leave us to just have wounded minds and wounded thoughts and controlled thoughts. You've provided us a helmet, the Lord Jesus. And we would pray that you'll make us proficient in using that helmet to protect our minds from the intruded thoughts of the enemy and to also receive the mind of Christ through his precious word. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to memorize the scripture and to get God's word into our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen.